You're listening to Transforming Insight, the podcast for anyone who has the ambition to transform their insight team and create an insight-driven organization. Your host is James Witcherly, Chief Executive of the Insight Management Academy and the author of the book Transforming Insight, The 42 Secrets of Successful Corporate Insight Teams.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 11 of the Transforming Insight podcast. This is the first podcast in our second season, and we've called it Sowing the Seeds. In the last episode of season 1, episode 10, we introduced the concept of insight farming and drew a comparison between insight farming and insight hunting. Insight hunting represents the natural tendency of most insight teams to spend nearly all their time on new primary research or analysis, hunting for new discoveries. Insight farming represents an evolution for insight teams, shifting the focus to knowledge development, knowledge that is often drawn from many different sources and many pieces of research or analysis that have been completed in the past. I argued that insight farming is more valuable for our organisations and more sustainable for our insight teams. And I said that it's very rare to find a progressive insight leader who doesn't believe that there isn't more latent value in accumulated knowledge than in the next research or analysis project. Insight farming appeals to many on a cultural level, as well as offering obvious cost savings by cutting out project duplication. Good researchers and analysts are constantly accumulating knowledge in their heads anyway, so insight farming is a logical extension for the team. However, very few insight leaders think that they have yet managed to strike the right balance between running new projects and developing their knowledge base. The IMA has benchmarked well over 300 organisations in the last 3 years, and the scores for insight knowledge rank 7th out of 8 territories explored. So what are the practical steps to take if we want to make insight farming a reality? We're going to look at 3 over the next 3 episodes of our podcast. First, sowing the seeds. That means crystallising and recording our new findings. Second, cultivating knowledge. The active management and discussion of all the things that we know. And number 3, knowledge systems. Investing in systems that can facilitate each part of the process and help us to harvest better insight. The starting point is to recognise that we need to sow our own seeds if we hope to cultivate useful knowledge for our companies. This is where we look at our raw material, the insights from previous projects, which are the inputs to this process. If your insight team uses SCQAB to focus your investigation on underlying business questions, we looked at this in episode 7, then this will naturally force you to distill your findings into opinions and recommendations, and you will already have many valuable seeds to sow. But if some of your team's output takes the form of data tables, dashboards, or those old-fashioned market research debriefs that can run to 50 slides or more, well, then there's going to be some prep to do to distill existing findings that can be both useful insights in themselves, but also the inputs we need for our knowledge development. It's also important to remember that great ideas don't just come from formal projects. Analysts and researchers talking about an issue across the desk can come up with really useful ideas that can fertilise our thinking. But we need to capture these ideas, which usually means getting them down on paper or into a system before we move on to something else. You might think this a bit strange, but when I ran an insight team and I overheard my colleagues discussing new ideas, I always experienced a momentary anxiety that the idea would get lost unless somebody recorded it. Once it was in a document, ideally a one-page summary with perhaps a chart or infographic, a heading that summarised the idea in a sentence, and perhaps some very brief supporting bullet points, well then I could relax, knowing that we wouldn't lose it. Fundamental truths are another critical input to the knowledge farming process. For example, in financial services, life stage and life events dictate most consumer needs. And in the UK, where a small number of big banks still dominate the current account market, experienced researchers sometimes say that customers seem to be born with an attitude to the individual big banks with which their family has an association. And the implication of that is that they never view TV adverts, for example, for those banks in the same way that they would for one of their competitors. Insights like those don't come from specific pieces of work, but they're ever-present factors, the like of which exist for all markets and contextualise all new findings. The insight farming process will uncover far more of these over time, but it's important to capture those that already exist in individuals' heads. Now, who should do this work? Who should spend time, and it does take time, to identify and file the explicit outputs from previous work, as well as those implicit fundamental truths? In a perfect world, I would like to believe that everyone in an insight team should take part. The distillation, crystallization, and recording forming an integral part of each project. However, there are two problems with this: time and talent. In any good insight team, there will inevitably be pressure to support the rest of the business on the next decisions it needs to take, and the best analysts and researchers will be in heavy demand. Personally, I would always insist that the individual leading on a project documented the key findings from it, which might involve the creation of a separate one-page summary in addition to the report sent to the business decision maker, or the presentation that was given. But the demand for these specialists to start the next piece of research, and indeed their proximity to the detail of the project, might not make them the best person to go back through it and pick out all the findings we'd want to store for future use. The other issue is skill set. Great data analysts, and quantitative market researchers in particular, need to have an eye for detail. Accurate data collection and manipulation needs a degree of precision, providing, of course, that that precision doesn't get in the way of accuracy, as we discussed in episode 6. But reviewing research, sifting through evidence from multiple pieces of analysis to find those critical seeds which will contribute in time to our insight harvest, that's a different skill set. It requires big picture awareness, lateral thinking, an ability to step back from the detail and identify patterns across multiple projects. From 2005, Barclays and a range of other leading companies introduced insight manager roles. The term insight management had been coined by the IMA 1 year earlier, but the insight manager job title has now become quite common 17 years later. Sometimes, unfortunately, it is just a label, given to traditional analyst or research roles. But in the best cases, insight managers are recruited and developed in recognition of the importance of insight farming. We will see some of the other responsibilities they can have in future episodes of our podcast, but the first requirement is that they make sure that everything unearthed in day-to-day research is sifted for interest and potential future value. In my book, Transforming Insight, I said that the eighth secret of successful insight teams is that they sow the seeds of insight knowledge by crystallizing and recording their findings. If you'd like to explore this topic further, you might like to read the IMA's Insight Leader Guide, IMP 202, How to Sow the Seeds of Insight Knowledge, and watch a number of our Insight Leader videos on this topic. You might also want to consider one of the workshops provided as part of the IMA's Transforming Insight Programme, TIP 201, Knowledge Farming for Insight Teams.
You're listening to the Transforming Insight podcast, published by the Insight Management Academy, the world's leading authority on transforming corporate insight teams.
I'd like to pull out a few key aspects of this topic: time, process, behaviour change, and expectations. I've already said that sowing the seeds for insight farming is going to take time. And yes, that is time that is probably being spent on other pieces of primary research or analysis at the moment. And it's a different sort of time as well. We need to be in a more reflective frame of mind, giving ourselves the space to think laterally about the evidence we're looking at, considering other core stats that help to contextualise it, and joining the dots with the outputs from research on related business topics. it's particularly important to identify contradictions between the outputs from related pieces. Contradictions don't necessarily mean that either piece of work was wrong. They may just reflect different data sources or different moments in time. But identifying contradictions is key to deciding whether the big picture that has emerged from a range of previous pieces is now out of date, or whether a more nuanced view is now appropriate. Hopefully, each piece of insight work that our teams do will have led back to an underlying business decision, and so we'll be starting with project outputs that are already well evidenced and well argued. But in this stage of our process, there's usually scope to reflect on the wider implications of the latest work, to relate it not only to the specific decision that the organization could take here and now, but also to broader market, segment, product, and channel understanding, the ongoing cultivation of which will form the topic of our next podcast. As well as time for reflection, sowing the seeds requires some effective processes that everybody involved in the activity can follow. In what format are new findings documented? Where do those documents sit? Who reviews them or checks that processes are being followed? Given the temptation to set aside work which is important but which might not seem urgent, it's particularly important to make the work involved as simple as possible. In November 2017, the Insight Forum met in London to discuss knowledge development, and in the afternoon session, we focused on ways to encourage compliance with knowledge farming processes. One approach was to apply a model commonly used in behavioural economics, the EAST model, which stands for Easy, Attractive, Social, and Time. If we can make the process of recording new knowledge as easy as possible, as attractive to do as we can, the social norm, because everybody else in the team is doing it, and then, without cutting corners, make sure it's not taking up any more time than necessary, it is far more likely that our insight teams will change their existing behaviour and stick with the new process. It's also important to consider the rest of the organisation's expectations, however. It's one thing to persuade the most senior people in your company that investing more time in farming accumulated knowledge would be valuable for the organisation. It's quite another to tell a middle manager that the specific piece of work that they think is critical won't be happening this week because it's important that research completed last week has to be properly documented. There are judgment calls to be made here, of course, and sometimes it's right to put the recording on hold and start that fresh piece of analysis. But it's never as easy to go back to it as it might seem. And once the routine of crystallising our findings is interrupted, it's very easy for it to be viewed as a nice-to-do rather than a need-to-do activity. And we all know that tasks in that category, well, they're probably just not going to happen. I mentioned the introduction of insight managers earlier, and one reason to consider having some roles in your team that focus on the knowledge farming process rather than on primary research and analysis, because you can recruit with that big picture skill set in mind. But another reason, a very attractive one for me at Barclays, is that organisations tend to only value activity which is someone's key responsibility. If recording insights and joining the dots is everyone's second most important task, then it tends to get pushed to the very end of the week by the more urgent task of hunting for new insights. But if sowing the seeds needed for knowledge farming and then going on to cultivate knowledge from those seeds is someone's main responsibility, well, then it's a lot easier to give it the focus it deserves and justify why the insight manager concerned is not sitting at their desk commissioning a new survey or writing new code. So here's a reminder of five key points that you might like to take away from this podcast. One, many insight leaders like the idea of becoming insight farmers, but to make it a reality takes time and focus. Number two, we cannot harvest knowledge without first sowing the seeds, sifting through each project for key findings and interesting ideas. Number three, we should also add the implicit understanding that experienced researchers and analysts have developed over many years. Four, insight farming requires everyone to realise that no project is complete until its findings have been distilled and recorded. And five, some progressive insight teams have introduced insight managers, whose main role is to identify interesting nuggets and broader patterns. Several times in this episode, I've mentioned the need to document findings and file them, which begs two questions. How do we organise this filing? And on what systems does it take place? These are the questions that we'll consider in the next two episodes of our podcast.
Thank you for listening. Transforming Insight is available on all leading podcast platforms. Subscribe now to get notified when the next episode is released. Check out all the resources in the show notes and sign up to our email list. The Transforming Insight podcast is brought to you by the Insight Management Academy, who reserves the rights to the content. For more information on any of the ideas discussed in the episode, please visit www.insight-management.org.